So last Sunday, we had a guest speaker from Creation Ministries talking about science and the Bible. So I listened to that this morning, and all the Wednesday Bible studies. So if you're not able to come on a Wednesday to my house, but you want to participate in the Bible study, then you can just listen to them online. So the church website, I think it's heartbeatchurch.org. So it's quite simple to pick up. So today we're going to look at the Bible, how the Holy Spirit makes us brave. So as we've been looking at the Bible over the years, teaching about the Bible, we can recognise that the Bible tells us the true history of the world. That in the beginning God created the world in six 24-hour periods. That was a supernatural miracle. But the more we learn about God, the more it's easy to believe that God can do miracles like creating the universe in six 24-hour periods. If he could raise Jesus from the dead, if he can save people like you and I, then that is another one of his miracles of creation. And why is this world in such a mess? Because the first human beings, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. Instead of choosing to love God, they went their own way. They thought they knew better than God. They ate from the tree which God said do not eat from. And through that, sin came into the world, death and suffering and all the evil that we hear about on the news today. You know, over the last few weeks, you know, people in our country have been murdered and horrible things happening. And that's all come from that original human couple disobeying God. But the good news that Christians know and believe is that God has a rescue plan. And that plan was enveloped in the person of Jesus Christ, God who became a man. Jesus created the universe, and yet he humbled himself and allowed himself to be conceived and born in the womb of a virgin, Mary. And he lived a perfect life and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross so that we could be put right with God, so that we could go back to the beginning, just like Adam and Eve were walking with God in the Garden of Eden, and enjoying that perfect relationship with God. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we can enjoy that relationship today through the Holy Spirit. And in the future, God is going to fix this world. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And heaven is going to come down to earth. And we're going to be living in a new body on a new earth with Jesus as the King, with God the Father providing for everything we need. We won't even need a son anymore. There's a little mistake in this diagram over here. We won't need the sun. It says God will be our light, and there will be no crying, no death, no weeping, no pain anymore. Who's looking forward to that future? Oh, yeah. Amen. So when things get tough, just remind yourself of your eventual destination. Because Paul said, when I consider what's coming, the glory of what God has prepared for us, I consider all my current problems as light and momentary, because they're just so quick. And Paul had bigger problems than we did, didn't we? Has any of us been stoned and left for dead?
Not recently.
No, not recently, Cliff. I know you do street pastoring. But Paul, you know, all that happened to Paul, Paul lists all the things he suffered, I think in 2 Corinthians, and it's a long list. And yet he still says, this is just nothing really compared to the glory that we're going to. So that's the big picture. Nick, can you hit the space bar again, Cliff? Thanks. So the last time I was talking about the history of the Jews and the nation of Israel and what the Bible teaches us about them in the past, the present, and the future. I'm not going to do that today, but I'm going to use one verse from last time to lead us into what we're talking about today, about how we can be brave for Jesus. So let's just read together this verse at the top of the screen from Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ, and so all Israel will be saved. As the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is just a little excerpt from three chapters, 9, 10 and 11, in which Paul, who was Jewish, he was raised as a strict Pharisee, what we would call an Orthodox Jew today, And then he got radically converted on his way to Damascus. He was planning to go and throw Christians in prison because he did not accept that Jesus was the Messiah. He thought Moses was enough. And the Jesus appeared to Paul, his name was Saul back then, on his way to Damascus. He became a Christian. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so he's writing to the Christians in Rome and he's helping them to understand, to avoid national conceitedness. A lot of the wars in our country, like the Russian-Ukraine war, is caused by false national pride. Putin thinks Ukraine is rightfully his, and so he's just killing millions of people to get what he thinks his nation should have. But Paul's saying the way to guard against national conceitedness, in other words, thinking of your nation as being better or more important than other nations, is to recognise that all the Gentiles, that's every nation other than the Jewish people, we are hearing the good news about Jesus, who was the Jewish Messiah. He's now, as God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through your descendant. Jesus is that descendant, Jesus Christ, the Hebrew name Yeshua, Messiah, is the Hebrew version of the Greek word Jesus Christ, Greek names Jesus Christ. So Jesus is from the Jews, but now he is good news to every nation, for the British, for the Irish, for the Polish, for the Chinese, for the Nigerians, and any other nation that we have represented in this room. We get to hear the good news of how we can be right, made right with God our Creator through Jesus Christ. And when all those nations, all those non-Jewish nations have come to Christ, then the hard hearts of the people of Israel will come to an end. Verse 26, and all Israel will be saved. As the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem and he will turn Israel away from godliness. Paul is talking here about Jesus' second coming, his return to the planet Earth. And do you know which city on the planet Jesus will return to? It's in this verse. He will come from Jerusalem. He's not going to return to Coventry. He's not going to return to London or New York or Moscow or any other city or Beijing. When Jesus returns, it says in the book of Zechariah that he will return to Jerusalem. And when he returns to Jerusalem, it says that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, will repent. They will humble themselves. It actually says they will be weeping with remorse because they realised that they had rejected Jesus on his first coming and were instrumental with the Romans in crucifying him. And yet, when Jesus comes back, then they will be saved. So that brings us on to today's topic. If we get into the book of Acts, this is probably the key passage in the whole of the book, Acts 1, verses 6 to 8. So just read this together with me. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Praise God. So that verse in highlighted there in orange, that's for you. You can put your name in that verse. That's really why we're still on this planet until, you know, we reach the end of our race and we go to be with the Lord before he returns, be with him in heaven. This is why we're here on this planet. This is our main job. And that's why we've received the Holy Spirit. It's interesting at the beginning of this passage, the disciples who were all Jewish, the apostles, they kept asking Jesus, and this is immediately after he rose from the dead. They kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Free Israel from what? Well, the Roman Empire was occupying Israel at that time. And they were very keen to see the back of the Romans. And Jesus' reply is very interesting. He didn't say, as some Christians believe, God has now finished with the people of Israel, their history, and now the church is where it's at, and therefore your question is irrelevant. He didn't say that. Some Christians sadly believe that, which I believe is a false understanding of Scripture called supersessionism. What Jesus said was, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. In other words, that will happen. Israel will be free from other nations ruling over it, and the kingdom, that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of David, will be restored. But in terms of when that's going to happen, it's not for you to know. The Father decides that. Okay, and Jesus gave us a clue as to the timing of that. Let's read this verse in Matthew 24, verse 14. Those of us doing the Vision School course, we get this verse every week, but you can't get it too much into your heart because it's such an important verse. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before his crucifixion, and the disciples ask Jesus, when will the end of the world come? Who would like to know that? I would like to know, because this world is a bad, sad place, a lot of it. I mean, there are good things and there's beauty and there's, you know, we've got good news with being grandparents and stuff like that, but there's so much suffering going on. I'm really looking forward to this world coming to an end. Hugo?
I've seen some suffering in the city centre.
Some suffering, yes. All around, you can see a lot, or even here in Coventry, some bad things happen all the time. Well, let's just read together what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said, how we will know when the end of the world will come. Let's read together. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations, that's ethnic, linguistic peoples, will hear it, and then the end will come. So in other words, Jesus is saying, we don't know the date, we don't know the time. So if you're on social media and someone's saying Jesus is going to come back on this day, just unfollow them. I wouldn't listen to anything else they say because they're contradicting Jesus. But Jesus is saying, before the end can come, this good news about the kingdom, that's Jesus being the king of all people, will be preached throughout the whole world. So that all nations. Now, what does a nation mean? If you look at the word nation in the Greek, it's not the political boundaries. Because like Russia is, I think, the biggest country in the world. But if you look at the number of different ethnic groups and the different languages within any political boundary, there are a lot more. I think there are 15,000 different ethnic groups with their own languages that have been tracked. So what Jesus is saying is, before the end of the world comes, every one of these ethnic groups with their own language need to hear the good news about the kingdom of God. And on Tuesday nights at Vision School, we're hearing about the progress report on that objective. This is the task Jesus has set his people, to go into all the world, start in Jerusalem, he said, then go through Judea and Samaria. That's what we call the West Bank now. The biblical name is Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Coventry is one of the ends of the earth, but you can go a bit further north up to Scotland and Iceland and, you know, the Pacific Islands. I watched England narrowly beat Fiji yesterday, great rugby match. Fiji is right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, one of the ends of the earth. And their national anthem, they sang it at the beginning of the match, is a Christian national anthem. They're praying for God's blessing on the islands of Fiji. And when they scored tries, they scored some good tries, they'd be going like this and thank you, God, and all this stuff, you know. So the gospel has gone to Fiji, amen, which is a long way. But there are still a few places in the world, particularly the Muslim nations, that have not heard the gospel very much. So let's get into the book of Acts, if we can hit spacebar. Thanks, Cliff. So we're going to start off with Acts chapter 2. So let's just read this together. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So this is the beginning of the church age. This is how the church started. And we can have this same experience. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So if you've not yet received that gift from God, I encourage you to desire it. I encourage you to ask God for it. I saw this when I was about 10 or 11. The church I grew up in, which was very boring up until that point, nothing much happened. It was as a child. I remember one day, one of the leaders stood up and started speaking in a weird language. And I thought, he's either gone, it was Mike Holt, so Alex remembers him. He's still alive, actually, lives in the same place as Gene. He suddenly stood up in the church and started going, Karama Shakala Saraba Kalaba Shurabalanda. And of course, when you're 11 years old and you've known this guy all your life, it gets your attention. So either he's gone crazy, or could this be God? And the pastor of the church at the time was explaining that this is in the Bible, that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God can give us the ability to speak in a new language. And when Mike had finished speaking in this language, the pastor gave the translation or interpretation into English, and it was a message that God wanted to speak to all of us in the room at that time, at that point in time. That got my attention as an 11-year-old. Church stopped being boring, you know, because you went along, you didn't know what was going to happen that Sunday. And, you know, we need to do a bit more of this. Who would like to get a message for us all in another tongue or interpret it? A few of us? Right, go for it. You know, in between the worship songs, or next Sunday, no, it's Bring and Share next Sunday, so 2 weeks' time after the worship song will give us an opportunity to do that. And, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now let's skip down to verse 32, the next paragraph. Before we start reading this, so there were thousands of Jews in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost from all over the known world. And they all heard these 120 believers speaking about God in their own language. So there must have been at least 100, I'm guessing 120 languages there, because God doesn't waste. He doesn't just tend to duplicate. So at first this crowd thought they were all drunk. So they said, you know, what's going on? And Peter stood up and tells them what's going on. And he preaches this really good message. You can read it in Acts chapter 2. And this is the end of the message in verse 32, second paragraph. You can read this with me. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So it's good we get a mention in there, don't we, at the end. That's us. God has called us. We were far away in time and space, but God has called us. So Peter is basically saying Jesus is raised from the dead. And the reason we're looking at this is, how many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of us have received the Holy Spirit? If you've given your life to Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit. We can always receive more of the Holy Spirit. And we're called to be witnesses. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's very helpful to have this gift from God to speak in other languages, to pray. Then we're called to proclaim this message. This is what we are called to tell people here in Coventry, Nuneaton, wherever we live, that God raised Jesus from the dead. We are witnesses of this. I'm a witness that Jesus rose from the dead because I used to be a violent, mean, selfish person. And when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I was changed. You can ask my two younger brothers. One of my brothers nearly came last Sunday, but something intervened. But if you see my brothers, you can ask them what I was like before I became a Christian. I was a nasty piece of work. But Jesus changed me, and that to me is proof. If I look at my own life, I can see the evidence that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm a witness to that. So, I'm a witness to that. And we can tell people that Jesus is exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven, and that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And, you know, I want to have the Holy Spirit active in my life to the degree that other people notice it. Amen. Like the day of Pentecost. So, you know, Alex, I'm sure Alex's colleague noticed that something strange was happening when they found the three items in a short period of time in a warehouse of 30. That was the Holy Spirit at work in Alex's life. I was kayaking yesterday, a lovely warm weather. I was out on the canal with one other kayaker and the Coventry Canal. So he likes cycling. He's my age. He cycles 40 miles at a weekend, and he goes all over France cycling. He likes camping. So I was telling him about my last camping adventure. So Karen and I were camping in Devon in 2020 when Storm Francis hit the campsite on the beach in Devon on top of a cliff. And I woke up at 2 a.m. with the tent going. I thought the tent was just going to blow away, and me, Karen, Rachel and Thomas were going to be left looking at the stars. And I started praying. That's a good time to pray, amen, when you think your tent's going to go. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, put your headphones in and listen to the Bible app on your phone. So who's got the YouVersion Bible app on their phone? It's very helpful in a Force 10 storm. So on my Bible app, it will play audio. David Suchet, who plays Hercule Poirot on the TV series, he's a Christian, his Jewish heritage, but he's a believer, and he's got a great voice for reading the Bible. Because he's a Christian, you can tell he believes what he's reading. So I put Psalm 91 in my headphones. I was praying in tongues, praying in this prayer language, because again, in a storm, having the ability to pray in tongues is very useful. You don't need to pray these long, fancy prayers. You need help fast. So I was praying in tongues. I was listening to Psalm 91. And there's a verse in Psalm 91 that says, no disaster will happen to your tent. Does anyone remember that one? That's a very good promise when you're in a tent in a Force 8 gale. And those words, no disaster will happen to your tent, going into through my headphones, that was a word from God for me at 2 a.m. August 2020, Storm Francis in Devon. And then my son wakes up, he was about 9, and he says, Dad, what's happening? We're going to be okay. I said, yes, God's just said to me, no disaster's going to happen to our tent, go back to sleep. So he did. So it's great, isn't it? We should be like little kids, don't we? If our dad says it's okay, all hell may be breaking loose. If dad says it's okay, just go back to sleep. That's what Jesus did in the boat, didn't he? He wasn't worried. He knew that someone bigger than him was taking care of things. And we woke up next morning, the tent was there. There was a small rip about that big in one wall, which I put duct tape over. So anyway, I told my kayaking friend this story yesterday. He was listening with great interest as we were paddling down the canal. So we are called to be witnesses to Jesus. So that's a witness to him that Christianity isn't some theoretical religion. It's about reality. It's about God meeting with you and me in everyday life and transforming our lives just the way Peter did in the book of Acts. Peter's life had been transformed. A few weeks before this, he denied Jesus 3 times. Now he's standing up and telling these Jewish people who'd crucified Jesus, you are guilty. You crucified him. You need to repent. He is God. The man you crucified is God. He's the Jewish Messiah. Repent. And he quotes from the Bible, from Psalm 110, about God's enemies being a footstool under his feet. And verse 36, so he says to all these crowd, we know there are at least 3,000 Jewish men there. He says, let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him, brothers, what should we do? They realize they're in trouble. They realize they've made a big mistake crucifying Jesus. What should we do? And this is the message we've got for people. Peter says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent means basically change your attitude from being hostile to God to being humbly open to God. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It'd be great to have another baptism service soon with some of your friends maybe becoming Christians, some of the Alpha Course people, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, to those far away. All have been called by the Lord our God. So this is the message we preach. Thanks, Cliff. Acts chapter 2, let's carry on. You can read with me. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So this is how the church started. And this tells us what we should be doing. If we want to be a healthy Christian, we need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. How do we do that? The Bible. So it's no good having the Bible on your shelf. You need to be reading it. You need to devote yourself to learning and understanding the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I've been reading the Bible since I was a teenager. I read it through. I listen to it on my audio Bible app. I read it. We study it. And the more I study the Bible, the more I realise there's more for me to learn. You can always go deeper. So if you're a healthy Christian, you should be feeding yourself on the teaching of the apostles from the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because when the apostles were teaching, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. So they were teaching the Old Testament. And then we have the New Testament, which is all their letters and the Gospels, which write down their teaching. So we need the whole Bible. We need to devote ourselves to fellowship. So tell the person next to you, well done for coming to church today. You are devoting yourself to fellowship. Amen. And don't just leave it to Sundays. You know, come on Wednesday to the Bible study. Devote yourself to fellowship on a Wednesday night. If you're free on Thursday lunchtime, devote yourself to or go to the City Prayer and Praise tonight, where thousands of Christians from around Coventry will be gathering at the cathedral. They shared meals together. Who likes eating together? God is doing amazing things in Morocco. We heard a guy who's been working out in Morocco. And one of the things the Moroccans really love is food. They like couscous and they like tagine. And I talked to Ashur afterwards. He's from Algeria, similar food. And who enjoyed the cake Ashur brought a few weeks back? Look at there, everyone enjoyed it, Mashur, thank you. So the food. And our friend was telling us on Thursday the best way to reach Moroccans he's found was cooking food, huge pans of food, and taking it to the beach, taking it to the football pitch. And young people particularly would come along, they'd eat all this food, they'd play football, and then they'd become friends over food. And then eventually they would hear about Jesus. And many young people in Morocco are turning to Jesus Christ. They're fed up with Islam. They're fed up with dead religion, which is about external performance and behavior and trying to earn your salvation from Allah. And they're coming to Jesus, who's saving them, transforming them like he did for us, and showing them how to live for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So devoting ourselves to food. We're going to break bread later on. So that's remembering the Lord Jesus' death, what we might call communion or the Lord's Supper. The Anglicans call it Eucharist. In the book of Acts, they were doing this every time they ate together. They would break bread. They would remember the body of Jesus Christ. They would remember that Jesus had died for them so they could be saved, so they could be healed, so they could be restored in every way in their relationship with God. That is the purpose of communion. And they devoted themselves to prayer. So you can do that on a Wednesday if you come along. It's a prayer and a Bible study on a Wednesday. And there are other opportunities to pray together as well. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So in chapter 3, we see one of the miraculous signs and wonders that the apostles performed. So Acts 3, verses 1 to 9, you can read this with me. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. So that's a great way to get some publicity for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man, it says later on, was over 40 years old. And so most people in Jerusalem would know who he was. And Peter looks at them, looks at him intently. There are a lot of people begging for money in around Coventry, sometimes outside the supermarkets. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit saying, "What can I give to people?" And Peter tells the man to look at him. When we in our Bible study, Cliff pointed out that, I think it was you, Cliff, was saying that when they were begging, they wouldn't look at the person they were accepting money from because they were, you know, they were humbling themselves. They were making themselves dependent. But Peter says, "No, that's not what's going on here. Look at me. Give me eye contact." And the lame man was obviously surprised. Why is he asking me to look at him? So he looked at them eagerly, expecting, well, it says money. It doesn't. Yeah, this is the New Living Translation. But Peter actually gives him that miracle and pulls him onto his feet. So let's go see what happens next. Next slide. So Peter, then a big crowd gathers. And then once again, Peter takes the opportunity. We need to be open to opportunities to share the gospel with people. So, you know, you can tomorrow at work or at school, if someone says, "How was your weekend?" You could say, "Oh, it was good. I heard this story about a friend of mine who works at JLR, who miraculously found three parts in a 13,000 warehouse." That would be a good conversation starter. And you never know. People might want to know more. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you can read this with me, "Rulers and elders of our people," sorry, I've fast forwarded. So he preaches to the crowd. Another 2,000 people become Christians. The authorities do not like it. So they arrest Peter and John, drag them into like the Houses of Parliament Select Committee, because they're not happy. "You shouldn't be doing this. We tried to kill Jesus. What are you doing telling everyone he's alive and doing miracles?" So this is what Peter is talking to these hostile rulers. So he says to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.'" That's a quote from Psalm 118. "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." So we're going to jump to verse 18. They didn't like this, but this is the outcome, verse 18. "So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard.' The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years." It was amazing, wasn't it? It'd be like some TV celebrity who's in a wheelchair. Sometimes you see actors, don't you, that are severe disability on like the most popular TV show, and they maybe come here one Sunday and you know, Jane pulls them out of a wheelchair, they're completely healed, and the next week. So the whole nation would notice this person is has been healed by God. And so Peter is totally brave here. These are the same people who sentenced Jesus to death. And Peter, rather than denying Jesus three times out in the courtyard, he's saying to them, you know, I'm going to clearly tell you, you crucified this man, but God raised him from the dead, and you are completely missing it. And that the only hope for you guys is to call on this name of Jesus. Because there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Have you ever been asked, what about all the Muslims? What about all the Hindus? What about all the Sikhs? What about the people who've never heard about Jesus? Have you ever been asked that question? Well, here's your answer. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So all people, they get access to Jesus Christ. Your religious background does not disqualify you from being supernaturally transformed and coming to know God as your Father in heaven and having the same relationship with God the Father that Jesus had. That's what it means to be a Christian. And Peter is saying, even these hostile men who were enemies of Jesus, he's sharing that good news with them. Next slide, please. So this is the prayer. So they'd been threatened. So they knew they'd crucified Jesus. These guys have given them like a final warning. Do not keep telling people about Jesus. And they've said, oh, yes, we will. So what do they do? You can read this with me. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. I think that's great prayer to pray. You know, Christians are getting sacked and losing their jobs and arrested for preaching Jesus in this country, sadly, because our freedom of speech is decreasing and laws are being passed that threaten Christians. You know, if Christians say that I believe marriage is just between one man and one woman, you can get sacked. Because that's what the Bible says. But this is the way we should respond. We should come together because there's power in numbers, certainly where believers are concerned. And we should pray together. And we should pray for God to give us courage and boldness, not to be intimidated by hostile governments, hostile authorities who maybe threaten us. But that we will do what Jesus said. We will proclaim the good news about him. And we will perform miracles of healing in the name of Jesus. I can't heal a fly. But, you know, I can be like a pair of electric jump leads between a dead battery and a full battery. Jesus is the full battery. Sick people might be a dead battery. We can put our hands on them and say, be healed. And God could heal them just like the crippled man was healed there. So to finish off this message, we're going to pray this prayer in orange together and ask God to give us boldness to preach the good news this week. And if any authorities threaten us to not do that, then we'll have the same courage that Peter and John had to do what Jesus said anyway. Amen. So let's just stand up and pray these words together. So we read them together just now, but this time we're going to pray. And think about your people of peace. Think about your colleagues, your neighbours, your friends, your relatives, whoever it is that you know God has called you to share the good news of Jesus with. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us boldness that we will make the most of every opportunity to share the good news with everyone that he wants us to do. So let's pray together. One, two, three. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything you did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, through each one of us in this room. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. And Father, we ask you to fill us all with the Holy Spirit right now. And let's just join hands again together and pray for one another. Father, we ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the same bravery, the same boldness that filled Peter and John when they prayed this prayer the first time. And Lord, help us to be filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that if we see people who need miracles, Lord, we can deliver those miracles from you to them as gifts from you so that they know how much you love them and how much you want to help them. Give us boldness to lay hands on sick people as we have the opportunity and to share this good news this week. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's the end of the teaching. The last slide, Cliff. It's just to encourage us all to pray for our people of peace, invite them to Alpha. Be good to have another Alpha course next year with your friends coming along, amen. Invite them to Bring and Share Lunch next Sunday. We've talked about having an Alpha session on the Bring and Share Lunch. So I'm going to have a think about that. I don't think the video would be impactful enough. People would probably just ignore it. But what I might do is try and deliver an Alpha talk with video clips. So watch out, that may happen next Sunday. You could invite your people of peace to Christmas events. We're going to have a Christmas party instead of a Bring and Share Lunch in December. It'll have a Christmas theme. And we might have Father Christmas dressed up, who knows. We will have a Christmas carol service, which is a testimony service. Well, I ask each family to read out a Bible passage from the Nativity story, share what God's done in your lives over this last year, and then choose a Christmas song, modern or old. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill and empower us with bravery to share the good news with people of all nations in our neighbourhood, school, workplace and Coventry City Centre. As the Vision School course comes to an end, I'd like for some of us to go into Coventry City Centre on a Saturday and join in with other Christians who are sharing the good news with people of peace. So you're basically doing Coventry City Centre what we'll do if you come with me to Morocco next year. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. You go around looking for people who are interested and open and willing to hear about Jesus, trusting that God will lead us to those people, and particularly Muslims and people from other seas. That's why our shore's here, because Mark and I did that in the summer, and we met you outside the Transport Museum. That was a God appointment. That was not a coincidence. And you know, God's got appointments for you. If you have the desire in your heart, yeah, I'll go with John one Saturday down the city centre. What's the worst that could happen? And maybe we'll have some more people filling these empty chairs that you've met in the city centre when we've gone out treasure hunting, like Ashur, who have come to this city from all corners of the world. Maybe they're in big trouble and they're ready to give their lives to Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be great to see every one of these empty chairs filled with someone from another corner of the world who wants to know about Jesus? Amen. So that's a great way for our church to grow, unless your friends and neighbours and your people of peace come in as well. We'll see who arrives first, but we'll just be praying. Just depends on who's open. So we're going to take communion now. Leroy and Thais, are you okay to lead us in communion? Or do you? Yeah, okay. Has you got a question, Ugo?
Can I take communion too?
Could you bring the cups round, please, Ugo? Thank you. And if someone would like to bring the bread round as well, just to speed up the distribution. Thanks, Jacob. Or Philip? Okay, Philip's closer. Good to see people willing to volunteer. So this is Remembrance Sunday, the 11th, I think it's Tuesday, isn't it, is actual Remembrance Day. And I know schools and some of us are involved in, as Karen's involved in special events for that. This is what we're doing every time we take communion. We're remembering the greatest sacrifice. We thank God for all the men and women who died so our country could be free. And as attractive as it is for people all over the world that are trying to get here legally or illegally, but we thank God, we thank God that Jesus is the greatest sacrifice. Jesus is what has made our lives as good as they are. Amen. And there is a cost to this wonderful life that we've received. Jesus paid the ultimate cost. Thanks, Philip. Try and get one of those in my fingers. That's it. And these little pieces of bread represent Jesus' body being destroyed on the cross, crucified. He was stabbed, he was lashed. This piece of bread represents what he did. And there's nothing special about this bread in itself. The purpose is to remind us, so in our hearts we focus on Jesus, the risen Saviour and Lord, who is here by his Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that his body was broken so our bodies can be healed. And, you know, we can't go and share the good news with people if we're sick in bed. You know, we thank God. I know some of us have been ill. Thank God we're healed and here today. And let's believe as we take this bread for the healing power of Jesus to flow through our bodies.